Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for a Patriots blowout, Keith?
I am ready.
They needed that. They needed that one. They
now,
really did.
I would have taken a 2-point win, and we could have been like, all right, you're 2-2. Let's see what happens this week. But no, you needed that one. The way things were going, you lost a couple of 50-50 games already to start the season. 1-2, not a great start. Carolina, not a great team. You're at home. You can't go to 0-3 at home, for God's sakes. And, not only did they get the win, they got some style points and smacked them around pretty good. So I will take it.
I agree with exactly what you said off the top. They needed it. They needed a beatdown like this, an easy one, or at least a stress-free one, like for the team.
Yeah.
Going into what will be a massive game this week against Buffalo. We said it all last week. You can't be 1-3 with three losses at home to the Raiders, who looked like trash again yesterday. Geno was terrible.
Ooh, Ashton Jeanty, though.
He looked great.
Guy was a beast.
I'm not taking any victory laps, but he looked great.
He was great.
Took him a while.
Yeah.
The Panthers, and then in the middle, Pittsburgh. Maybe Pittsburgh's a little better than we give them credit for.
Right.
If you watched that early game yesterday. But three losses, all winnable games at home going into Buffalo on national TV.
Forget it.
You're shaking your head.
These 9-10 win totals, you're like, there's no chance if you dig yourself that kind of hole.
That was a recipe for a big, giant no-no. This... they needed it.
Oh, my God, did they need it.
They needed it in the worst way. And look, it's
Buffalo.
Didn't
start out that way.
No. Yeah. It's Buffalo, but then, Keith, it's New Orleans, Tennessee, Cleveland, Atlanta. Like, you want to let your mind start to wander a little bit after that Buffalo game. A win like this allows you to do that, a loss wouldn't allow you to do that.
They have, not to do the whole schedule game right now, they have three good teams left. And two of them are Buffalo. So two good teams. They have three tough games left. Tampa Bay.
Yep.
Because my guy Baker, I know they lost
Tampa, Buffalo, Buffalo. You're not counting our Super Bowl champion Baltimore on there anymore because they're now 1-3.
Oh, my bad. Four.
Okay.
So four tough games. Yeah, no. They are 1-3. Their defense isn't great. No.
I thought you would knock the Ravens out.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that's just my eyesight looking at the schedule. I missed the little Raven
logo.
No, but
Cincinnati looked like one of those games,
right,
and now without Burrow.
They were one of the ones, and now they're not. So I knew there was one less. But anyway, yeah, so it's Buffalo. So it's Josh Allen twice, it's Lamar, and it's Baker. You have a stretch where you can pile up a lot of wins. And this was obviously one of them. This might end up being one of the worst teams that you face, but there's a pile of them. There's a lot of teams kind of similar to Carolina. So what was that going to look like? Are you showing any kind of improvement as it goes on? And I'll tell you, the first 5 minutes of the game, you're thinking, maybe not.
It was so bad.
Like, oh, wow.
The start was so unbelievably bad. I don't know what Vrabel does Monday through Saturday. Like, I really have no clue what he's doing.
Hard to say.
Getting the team ready. And or the lack of getting
the
team
wanted,
ready.
But then they were a house of fire. But yeah, it was the combination. And once again, we say this about the first two home games that they had. It was not just a slow start defensively, but offensively as well. So they give up a 7-play, 76-yard drive, and you're like, what?
And it was
to Carolina.
I can't believe it took seven plays.
Seven plays.
That was so easy. I can't even believe it took that long. I felt like 2 plays. They just marched right down the field.
No, it was a 12-yard run, a 9-yard run, penalty in there, 9-yard pass, 3-yard run, 16-yard pass, 16-yard pass, 7-yard touchdown pass. You're like, geez.
So,
you guys want to mix in like a stop in here?
So unbelievably easy. Then the Pats go 3 and out. Drake was lucky he didn't throw a pick. Probably his only bad throw of the day was his first throw of the day.
Although, I'll tell you what, missed extra point is always a sign of like you're kind
it's
of
coming
just
back to you.
Yeah. And so you do that. So Carolina has this great momentum. They go all the way down the field, and it looked like they had no resistance at all. You missed the point. There's just something about it. We're like, oh, it's 6-0. You had that awesome drive, and it's 6-0, not 7-0. And then the Patriots give the ball right back to him. Yeah, thank you. And then the Patriots give the ball back to him. And you're like, is this going to be like a grind it game? No, it's not. And you can thank Marcus Jones for that. because he is the best punt returner in football.
Well, we gave him two Pro Bowlers before the year,
right? He was one of them.
He was one of them because they're going to warm out a couple of special teams Pro Bowlers. But you're right. I mean, they were marching down the field again.
Yeah.
8 yards, 4 yards, another penalty on the Patriots. 15 yards, incompletion, 2 yard run on third down, which I don't know what they were doing on
first
third down.
Carolina's first two possessions, they racked up over 100 yards.
Yeah.
You know, and then Marcus Jones is like, I'll take it from here.
They decided not to kick a field goal. They decided not to even try on third down. Then they decided not to kick a field goal. Schlereth, who I thought was mostly good on the broadcast yesterday, he's good with afternoons, was like, hey, this is a good job, good decision to punt. They punt to Marcus Jones, and he turns the game around. Like, single-handedly turns the game around.
And this was we all saw it. It was an incredible return. You know, when they gave up the punt return a couple weeks ago, it was one of those where it was such a blast that the guy catches it and there's no one around him. And you're like,
yeah,
okay.
He's just got lots
of
real
estate.
He kind of
dances, it's tough, and then he makes a couple guys miss. This was wild because it looked like he was bottled up. And you're like, okay, whatever. Like, he's taking a chance, kind of risky. You're like, oh, he's still going. And then it was one of those ones where, like, there was like eight guys in the end zone with him. Like, everybody was free. There was guys past him. Like, where is everybody?
I know eventually
Carolina?
He got tackled by the punter on the one later in the first half.
Another one, yeah.
But the second you saw the blocking convoy and just the punter, you're like, oh, he's gone.
This guy.
he is out.
This guy, see you later.
So an unbelievable.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Unbelievable punt return yesterday, which really did turn the game around. I don't think that's oversimplifying anything yesterday.
Not at all.
I'm sure you've seen this stat. With 167 return yards on three punt returns, he set the single-game franchise record passing Mike Haynes back in 1976. That's a record that stood for a long period of time. And he had three of them yesterday. It was a 19-yarder as well. He could have had a second one that he took back to the house. Mm-hmm. Excellent game for him. I like this answer from Marcus Jones after the game. This is a good way to describe Marcus Jones, the punt returner.
Marcus, congrats on your big day today.
Appreciate it.
On the broadcast, they were surprised you didn't fair catch the punt that you took back.
Yeah.
It was pretty deep. Do you have, like, given your skills, do you have, like, special rules with the coaches that you're allowed to return more? Or did you think about fair catching there? You know, what went through your mind, I guess?
I'm pretty ruthless back there. So mainly what I kind of worry about is the gunners. You know, if the gunners are blocked, then I'm like, all right, I can kind of return it. So I had a little bit of space, and I was just like, man, I know those guys trust me a lot and everything, and I trust them, you know, to make the right block. So we kind of went from there.
Ruthless.
I'm a little ruthless back there.
Good word.
I love it. It's like, well, if the gunners are blocked, nobody else was, and you still grabbed it. There's like three guys around you, and then he made a play. But no, we knew, like, watching him his whole career, he's a real weapon. And I know the jokes last year were about, hey, Alex Van Pelt, you know he plays offense, right? But even aside from that, like, just anytime he gets the ball kicked to him, he's a guy that can tilt the field. Like, he's getting to the point now where if you're the other team, you need to consider, like, I don't know, we might give up some field position and just kick it out of bounds. Like, don't even kick to this guy.
I was surprised they kept kicking to him.
Yeah, right. He just showed you. And then they're like, let's try it again. And it's like, then he almost did it again.
Then they did it again.
Yeah, yeah. No, like, well, they're like, the Panthers. Okay. They're the Panthers. I don't think the Bills are going to kick to him five times.
So I think that's a relevant piece to this game. And you guys can discuss all day long on a Patriots Monday. Pats win 42-13. They are back to 500. Massive game on Sunday Night Football in Buffalo against the Bills. We'll be talking about that all week long as well. It's 617-779-7937, your phone and text number. Interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch and chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat Twitch, which
back,
is back, by
back
the
up
way.
And running.
You can do the same on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI.
He leads the league in punt return yards.
Yes.
Yeah, I would stud.
I would
awesome.
Say after yesterday, I would hope so. So, yeah, the special teams, Marcus Jones and his impact is the Pepsi key takeaway brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Was yesterday, Keith, about the Patriots, or was yesterday about the dog crap team on the other side, the Carolina Panthers?
No, I'm going to give the Patriots credit. You know, I think we said how they needed this, but they, after a bad series for both the offense and the defense, they did respond. And I think in part they're going to have a good record because they play a lot of bad teams, but you still have to beat those bad teams, right? Like, the Raiders aren't a great team, and they lost that game, and that was on them. I will give them credit for taking this Carolina team and just really second quarter on destroying them. And just like they played well. They played well on both sides of the ball. And it's not a one-off. You know, it's not like Carolina is the only team with a bad coach and quarterback that you're going to see all year. Like, more than half their schedule is like this. So I guess in a Weasley way, I'm sort of answering it both ways. But you know, because that team is not very good. So you need to take advantage of their mistakes and you know, the stuff that they can't do. We went in on Friday saying they got one rookie receiver who's pretty good, nobody else. They got Chuba Hubbard who's fine. That's it. We always play the game on Friday. What one player would you want on the other team? We're like, I don't know.
It's a hard week.
J.C. Horn, I guess. Like, we didn't really want it. Like, nope, nobody? Can we get two next week? Can we get two Bills and none
of these
guys?
Can we save one? Yeah.
I don't want it. I don't want it.
We'll treat it like Kraft treats the salary cap. Let's roll that over to next week.
Yeah. I'll take this roster. But, like, the league very much it has this giant middle ground. Like, most of the league is in the middle and at the end of the year could be separated by 2, 3, 4 wins. And so you have to win this game. But they did it after that slow start so impressively that I'll say this was them. They deserve all the credit for this.
Yeah, I mean, my only gripe yesterday was the crappy start.
That was it, really.
Like, that's all you can. You can't afford to do that against good teams. But here's the thing. I agree with you. I think this was more about the Patriots than about Carolina, who was, no matter how you want to spin it, a big factor. That is a bad team. I can't believe Nick picked him to go to the playoffs. That's embarrassing. That Nick had Carolina as a playoff team in our preseason prediction.
I should have picked the Chargers.
That is just a really embarrassing thing.
Chargers down bad today, too.
Titans, the Titans stink, too. I can't believe I picked them.
Yeah, bad picks. Just terrible picks by Nick.
That's right.
Pretty embarrassing.
Jones picked the Panthers and the Titans. Now, there is something to be said about going bold.
1-7 right now, combined. Yeah, which is not looking so great.
No.
But look.
And the Titans head coach trying to fight people after the press conference.
No, I think we need him fired to turn the Titans season around. But when it comes to the Panthers, they're a big factor yesterday. Yeah. There's no getting around it. But here's the thing. Even if your answer is, yesterday was about the Trash Panthers and not about the Patriots, and it was just some long returns from the punt returner and a missed field goal that gave the Patriots a short field, because I am a little cautious of the McDaniels mafia that's out there today. Like, the people that are like, oh, Josh McDaniels is in his bag yesterday.
Yeah.
All the usual suspects on the Patriots beat, like, who, you know, who like Josh McDaniels and probably get information from Josh McDaniels. Like, yeah. I'm a little skeptical of the McDaniels mafia today. They had all short fields, and Marcus Jones was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I want to see how that develops against a team like Buffalo. But even if your answer is Carolina's terrible and come talk to me a week from now. Well, Keith, I give the Patriots credit because Vegas is terrible and they lost to them.
Safe.
Pittsburgh, I don't think, is very good.
No, they got a good record, but
Miami isn't good, and the Patriots barely beat that team. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know they could even beat bad teams. So I'll give the Patriots credit for that. And if your answer is Carolina, the good news is the whole schedule is loaded with teams like Carolina.
Yeah.
New Orleans, Tennessee, who we were just talking about, Cleveland, Atlanta. You get the Jets a couple of times in there. The Giants, I know they won yesterday with Jackson Dart. Miami again. Like, this is why in the preseason we were talking about the Patriots as a playoff team. There's so many of these games, and I think now we know the Patriots should be able to beat this caliber of team. I thought they could. The other opportunities they had, they didn't really do it. Now they did it. So I do think yesterday was more about the Patriots.
Yeah, because I think the question going into the year was, would other teams like Carolina, Cleveland, New Orleans look at the Patriots and be like, hey, this is our week to win? Or would you say, no, that's another team that is a notch above them? Because there needs to be a separation there. Like, you might not be Philadelphia or Buffalo. I would say Baltimore, but they're actually off to a terrible start. You have a better record than Baltimore. But you know what I mean? Like, those top kind of Super Bowl contending teams, can you be ahead of, like, the rest of the pack? And that's why I think this was such a massive game for Mike Vrabel. Like, this was significant. Because if they were 1-3, and if they had lost all these very winnable games so far to start the year, you're like, just give Gerard Mayo another season. Like, at that point, if you're 1-3 with this, like, you need to be able to turn it around, because you don't have a tough game until Week 5. And then if you're, like, stumbling over yourself, you're not making any kind of corrections. You know, this is a team going into the game with a million penalties, a million turnovers. You're like, all right, what are you doing? Like, are you making this team more professional or not? So they desperately needed it. The whole squad needed it, but I think Vrabel individually probably needed it the most.
Agreed. And I want to get to his what this says about him, and we questioned it going in, so I'll give him some credit coming out. But when it comes to the performance yesterday, it wasn't a close game. Like, this wasn't a final possession, close game, white knuckle, hang on to your hat sort of win over Carolina. Because then I might say, boy, that you barely beat this trash Panthers team.
Right.
You blew them out.
Oh, you smoked them.
You know, and so it didn't start great, but whatever. You're allowed to have a bad start if you're going to put up 42 points and dominate going away. So that's why I give them credit for that yesterday, but perhaps you disagree. Who was it more about, the Panthers or the Patriots yesterday? And even if you answer the Panthers, the good news is there's a lot more easy teams on this schedule. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number here on a Patriots Monday. We'll get to what happened in week four of the NFL coming up a little over an hour from now at 11:30. As we do every Monday, we'll talk to Hunter Henry and Christian Ellis as we do every Monday. And we'll get to the Red Sox later on in the show.
Yes, sir.
They are a playoff team.
You better believe it.
They get the Yankees.
Good.
Friday night was awesome.
It was.
Didn't start awesome, but it was awesome.
Yep.
And so we'll get to the Red Sox later on in the show as well with all your phone calls. Again, it's 617-779-7937. Reminder, Football Talk on WEEI presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. You can watch your local game every Sunday all season long. Just visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. You started to get to this, Keith, but what is yesterday's win and the whole week resulting in a blowout win say about Mike Vrabel?
It says, you know, maybe he was the right call, right? Or at least, you know, it's still TBD. He's not the wrong call. He's not the wrong choice. And his team has listened to him. His team has responded. It's 1 week. You want to see him kind of pair some of these together and keep it going. But the difference between 1-3 and 2-2, despite it being just one game in the loss column and one game different, was massive based on the teams that you were playing. And we're like, all right, there's a lot going on this week. You know, Ramondre Stevenson. What are you going to do with Ramondre Stevenson? I can't say I agree with it.
Me neither.
But the first play of the game, they hand the ball to Ramondre Stevenson. I'm like, this guy shouldn't even be out there. And he shouldn't be active. If he is active, he shouldn't be starting. But he does. He kind of tries to send a message. And we'll see in the long run if that ends up paying off. But the team was early on, you're like, all right, is it going to be like last year? How much better is this team going to be? And they responded. They definitely needed it, especially at home, that aspect of it too. So doesn't mean that like smooth sailing necessarily the rest of the way, but on a week-to-week basis, this was a really good response to how the week three game went. And now you feel like a little bit better, right? You can like a little bit of a sigh of relief. But yeah, for Mike Vrabel, like, you would have felt so polar opposite had this game gone the other way.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, good. Like, this is like check mark for Mike Vrabel.
What it says about Vrabel is he's not going to let it be a Mayo-esque disaster. That's not going to happen with Mike Vrabel. And I've drawn a parallel to the Patriots from a year ago and how they looked, and they're not that different than Gerard Mayo's team. They're undisciplined. They turn it over. He says questionable things here and there. But he's not going to let it be a full-blown disaster.
Yeah.
I'm sure the schedule goes hand-in-hand in that. But through 2 weeks, Keith, or there have been two different games in the first month, rather, where we've come in and said, Vrabel's on trial. Like, the whole thing is on trial top to bottom.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they answered the bell against the Dolphins in week two. They did it again yesterday. So Vrabel is a good enough head coach and has a strong enough hold on the team, and I think we can see that through the first month. He's not going to let it be a disaster.
Right.
They may not make the playoffs. They may not win as many games as we want. They are still too undisciplined, 7 penalties, 53 yards. I didn't like how he handled the Ramondre Stevenson thing, or even Pop Douglas, though I preferred how he handled that comparatively.
Uh-huh.
He's still going to say things that piss me off, and the team still does not know how to start games. You gave him the advice, Keith.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him they're starting at 12:30.
You might have to go earlier now.
Noon?
Maybe high noon? Yeah, high noon. The game's at high noon. Actually,
guys,
next week, 7.
Guys, the game is, oh yeah, you're right. You're right, you're right. For next week, but in general, 1 o'clock game, let them know it's starting at high noon because they can't start on time. But all those gripes, all those nitpicks aside, I think we learned he's not going to let the bottom fall out. And
right.
I was questioning going into last week if the bottom was going to fall out. And
yeah,
he's not going to let that happen.
Because I wonder if just locally, overall, Vrabel was being a little bit overrated. I think people liked the hire. He wasn't neither of our first choices, but we were like, all right, it's a real head coach, it's a real guy, and you know, we'll see where it goes. There was some success there in Tennessee, and not even having a great quarterback, got to an AFC title game. And on a week-to-week basis, it's not as simple as this, but you usually look at like the head coach-quarterback combination. And if you're like, if Mike Vrabel, Drake May can't beat Dave Canales and Bryce Young, going to be a long year. Going to be a really long year.
Yeah.
And so not only did they beat him, but it wasn't even close. You're like, all right, great. Like, that is at least a step forward where – who knows where this season is going to end? We all have our predictions for it. But if you're able to beat those bad teams, because there are so many bad teams, there are so many in
the league,
NFL,
and there's specifically, so many. They're all on your schedule.
Yeah, you happen to play them all, but I'm just saying, like, in general, like, there's a lot. Like, every team has to look at their schedule. There's always there's at least a trash bag team, like, in every division,
yeah.
And then you play another division, so now you're starting to count these games. Even teams with tough schedules have, like, five trash bag opponents. You happen to have more because of the way they balance and the parity that they want. But, yeah, this was a good step forward.
Okay. What did yesterday say about Mike Vrabel, how the team responded to Mike Vrabel, which I questioned going in, and he gets a big check mark for that. Did yesterday say more about the Patriots or the Panthers and a Patriots blowout win that gets them back to 2-2, 500, with a massive game Sunday night in Buffalo? Again, you can discuss all day long. 617-779-7937 here on a Patriots Monday with Jones and Keith. Keith mentioned the coach and the quarterback. We talked about the coach. Let's get to the QB. Is Drake May blossoming right before our eyes?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Drake, is this kind of the best version of yourself, like kind of taking what the defense gives you, moving the ball around, managing the football? Like, is this who you project to be and who you want to be moving forward?
Yeah, sure. I sure hope so. If he leads to wins, you know, that's what I'm trying to, you know, become and the quarterback I'm trying to become. You know, I've tried to do it, you know, kind of just, you know, my whole career kind of like spread it around and give it to the guys that they can make plays. And, you know, I think everybody's got some, you know, chance in our team, you know, our skill guys to make the defense, you know, give them a problem. And I think we got guys in the team that are great with the football in their hands and just trying to do my best job of getting to them quick and don't hold it.
That was Drake May yesterday. And if you listen to May, who you can hear coming up today on WEEI Afternoons, or Mike Vrabel, who you caught after the game yesterday, this morning with the Greg Hill Show, if you missed any of it, Audacy app, AUDACY, get it on your phone, free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. Use the rewind feature and go back and listen to Mike Vrabel in full. You can also listen live on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. Vrabel hammered this point home, too. It's all about the open receiver, spreading the football around, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know if I really agree that's what it was yesterday.
I was going to say, take a look at who had the most catches, the most yards, the most targets.
It was streamlined to Steph Diggs,
yeah,
which
good.
Is something that we wanted last week.
Absolutely.
And it wound up happening. So I don't know if what they're saying is actually what happened. Hey, he's just finding the open guy. Maybe Diggs is the open guy, and that's the way it works out.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe de-emphasizing Pop Douglas, getting him off the field, means that you can look more in Diggs' direction. But I don't mind that Vrabel is clearly drilling that into Drake May, where, hey, make sure you're looking for the open guy. Don't worry about feeding him. Don't worry about keeping him happy. Find the open guy. That's your job. And I think it's pretty clear from listening to Vrabel and listening to May, they are drilling that message into Drake May.
Yeah, no, and I think, you know, it was a game where he didn't have to throw it a lot either.
Nope.
I mean, just the way things went and the amount of success that they had and the points that they were able to score, he didn't have to do a whole lot. But what he was asked to do, he did a great job of. And I do think for this offense to be the best it can be, Steph Diggs, not going to be 100 yards every game, but I think Steph Diggs has to be featured. And, like, what a great game for him when you think about it. You know, he hasn't missed a game yet for a guy that back on Halloween, we're not even at the one-year anniversary of him tearing his ACL in week, I think it was 8 last year. And so he's back. He's had some catches and, you know, picking up a few first downs the first few weeks. And we're like, all right, I don't know what this is. And then week 4, a little bit of a breakout for him. And credit again to Drake May for being super efficient. He was excellent. Darts and scampers, as you know, Jones, is what I want.
Everyone's
from Drake
talking
May.
About it. Darts and scampers, yeah.
And that's what you had. Not a lot of scampers, but when needed, rushes in the first touchdown of the, or first offensive touchdown of the game. And, yeah, I think overall the guy played a complete game.
Drake May had as many touchdowns as incompletions yesterday, if you count the rushing touchdown. He threw for two.
It's pretty efficient.
Two darts, one scamper.
Two darts and a scamper.
Equals three.
Yep.
He had three incompletions. Now, again, the first incompletion of the day could have been a pick. It was a horrible throw into double or triple coverage.
He's gotten away with a couple of those this season.
But after that, I don't think there were hardly any mistakes or any questionable decisions. Like, that was a clean game. I would say arguably the best game he's played. And whether you'd argue for Miami or you'd argue for a game from last year, I think the fact that, I don't know, every couple of weeks we're coming in going, wait a minute, is that the best game he played?
Awesome.
Oh, wait a minute. Or was that the best game? And we're able to debate it with like new data and new games. I'd say that's a good sign for the overall trajectory.
If I had to pick one, I still might take the Miami game.
I think I would lean that way too.
If you said it was yesterday, I'm not going to slug you in the gut. I'll tell you what. I'll be like, hey, not bad. And also, I don't know if you guys like quarterback rating or not. Some people dismiss it. Some people look for more advanced stats.
Depends on what you're about to say. Let me hear it.
Three straight weeks over 100, and this week was 155.6.
I like that.
But even the Pittsburgh game where he threw an interception, it was 102.1. So for the season, it's at 109.4. And so there are some, you know, crazy stats going out there right now for Drake May, but he's been really good. If you look at quarterback rating in the league, he is
109. I was gonna say has to be in the top 10, knocking on the door, top five.
The four guys ahead of him are Lamar Jackson, Jared Goff, Jordan Love, Josh Allen.
Okay,
not bad.
Pretty good company.
Not bad.
So I'd feel good about that. I'd also feel good about the uptick for Stephon Diggs. He played 31 snaps, 63%. Yeah. And my guess is, I didn't go through and rewatch the game this morning, Keith.
What?
Log the tape.
What the hell did you do this morning?
My guess is he could have had more snaps if they weren't blowing Carolina out. They sat a bunch of guys down. Dobbs got in there. So I bet that number's actually misleading. I bet it's a lot higher than that. For the actual competitive snaps when the first team offense was out there.
Yeah, right.
But 31 snaps for Diggs, 63%. That was second on the team behind only Booty. So he's passed by Hollins.
And it was close, right? Booty at 34, so it was like right neck and neck.
He's passed by Hollins. Pop Douglas was basically completely phased out yesterday.
Good.
And so, good. I think that's trending in the right direction.
Also, that game, and, you know, because it's so early, you know, if you have a really good game, it changes your projected totals, obviously. But after 3 weeks, Diggs was on pace for like 650 receiving yards. Now it's over 900.
Yeah.
Like that's how big of that game was.
He pretty much matched his season output in that game yesterday, at least a yardage total. Diggs was asked after the game, more plate talk with this team.
Good.
About his full plate. Here's what Steph Diggs had to say after the Patriots 42-13 win yesterday.
You've talked about eating what's on your plate, making sure you don't leave any crumbs.
Yeah, exactly.
What did your plate look like after this one?
I left some, no, dear. That one now, I probably could have came back and tried to catch the ball, trying to get on the same page. It's that game inside the game. You know, the things that you see, the things that you got to react fast and, you know, being available for the quarterback. So, and when I say eating what's on my plate, it's not just like routes and stuff like that. I had a play where I lined up wrong early on. I had to get up lined up late. So, you know, it's everything that ties into it. So I try to play a perfect game so I can be the example, so I can be a leader. So when it comes down to getting up and catch the ball, they pay me to do that. I've been doing it for a long time, and I'm going to continue to do so. So I'm super excited. I look forward to getting back to work. You know, after the game, that's the only thing that's been on my mind is getting back to work tomorrow, you know, correcting little things. As long as it's not effort and finish, I'm confident.
Okay. I was skeptical about Steph Diggs and how he's going to fit in the receiver room and what it was going to mean for the attitude of the team. The last week, I think Diggs has said all the right stuff, that answer included.
Great answer.
Like, how many crappy receivers last year are like, I have the best hands in football.
Oh my God.
I'm a Bugatti in a trailer park. Yeah. Like, all these complaints out of this trash-ass receiver room last year.
The one guy with a resume who can say stuff like that hasn't, and Diggs, he's even talking about lining up properly. Like,
Diggs
that's
is talking
about
where he lines up. There was one incompletion in his direction yesterday. He had, I think it was 6 out of 7 targets, right?
Yeah.
And he highlights the one. And he's like, look, I left some stuff on my plate I shouldn't have. And whether he means it or not, or if that's true or not, he had a great game yesterday, and he comes in and said, I can do more. Diggs, the last week plus, I've liked everything I've heard, to be honest.
Yeah, no, it's been great. I did think we would get the honeymoon phase. You know, I think early on in Houston, it was great. Now, they chose to go in a different direction, but it was off to a good start, and he was pretty productive. And they need this guy. Kayshon Booty is a good story, and he's had some moments, but you want Steph Diggs to be the number one receiver on this team. You know, and then you can let Mac Hollins and Kayshon Booty and the tight ends who've been very productive, and you know, even the backs as far as in the pass game, kind of get what they get. But they're all so much in a better spot if you have Steph Diggs out there getting the attention that he's getting. And he might not be the explosive receiver that he once was, but he's got good hands. He's a good possession receiver right now. And you see, you know, two of Drake May's best games he's had in his career. I know it's a very short, brief career, but this season, and it's with Steph Diggs. That helps.
And I do think he looked, and this makes sense, this should happen over the course of the year, recovering from the ACL, and you said we're not even at a year yet. Mm-hmm. I didn't think he'd be on the field. Like, when they first signed him, I didn't even think he'd be on the field.
Yeah, we were like, hey, he's definitely playing against Buffalo, because obviously this is a big game for Steph Diggs coming up. But we're like, that might be his first game. No, he's already had four under his belt.
If you told me the Bills were his first game when they first signed him, I would have agreed with that.
Yep.
I would have hoped he was back for that game. Now he's back, and he's put up 100 yards, and I'd expect some of the explosion to come back. Not that he's going to be vintage Steph Diggs, because already last year he was more possession receiver than vintage Steph Diggs before the injury. But, yeah, there were more big plays yesterday, explosive plays involving Diggs. The back shoulder throw on fourth down, the 33-yarder on the crosser. Like, there was more of that than we had seen. So I like what I saw yesterday. I like what I heard out of Diggs, and I wouldn't discount the second thing. 617-779-7937, Patriots Monday here on Jones and Keefe. We'll talk to Hunter Henry and Christian Ellis later on today. We have what happened week four of the NFL, another wild Sunday. Mm-hmm. That comes your way less than an hour from now at 11:30. Let's start it off with Tim in Brockton. What's going on today, Tim?
Hey, what's up, man? Hey. Jones and Keefe, you guys moved up in my ranking as best sports radio guys.
We moved up?
Yeah. Are we at the top
just
up?
Yeah.
Keith is number one. The guy, your arch nemesis, Jones, is number two, and then you're number three. You guys are my favorite.
Two out of the top three.
Okay, we had
number one combo. We'll take that. Good.
Yep. I like that they split us for the rankings.
I want to talk about Carolina's game. It was good. But do you think this game was any significant, or do you think it was like a pattern for the stats later on in the season? Like, a lot of these fans are getting overexcited, and I feel like the past 5 years, Patriot fans, because they're losing and they're winning now, they become soft, and the expectations are so low now. What do you guys think?
So I think the expectations are pretty high, actually. You know, nationally, I don't think a lot of people pick the Pats to make the playoffs. Like, oh, it's another year of a rebuild. I think locally we were sort of talking them up a little bit more.
Well, you're the number one media member, so you had them for
10 wins.
You had them for 10.
And in a playoff spot.
I'm number three. If we could get this in the Twitter bio, number one and three in Tim and Brockton's media power rankings. I had them for 9 wins.
But so despite that,
I know what he's saying, though. Yeah. Like, it's a low bar when we're just like, hey, they have a
Carolina.
Winning season, make the playoffs, and we're all stoked about Carolina. But
you got to be realistic a little bit, too.
Watch the last couple of years. They've been horrible.
No, I know.
So, yeah, the bar's low. And they were 1-2 going into this game.
But also, I don't know if they're good enough to be like, it's a stat padding game. Like, no, they need wins any way they can. And if they have a dominant win, great. You know, I don't look at it and be like, you know, it's not like they're the Kansas City Chiefs or the Philadelphia Eagles, and they blow out the Panthers, and you're just like padding points. Like, no, they needed that.
Also, some of us bet Drake May for a 300-yard game yesterday. He didn't pad his stats enough.
True. Like, no.
You know what that was yesterday? It was wild. I sprinkled a little bit.
What is it?
I think it was plus 9 something.
Plus 900?
For a 300-yard game. Yeah.
It was only plus 500 for a defensive special team score, which Dice nailed, by the way.
I should have given it. I tweeted at Dice the second it happened, but when we were talking about Marcus Jones earlier, Dice called in or
right
texted.
Right away he cashed that.
He texted or called?
He texted that.
And he said, guys, I'm feeling a Patriots defensive special teams touchdown. And we're like, okay, what is it? It was only plus 500.
Yeah, I was like, it's not juicy enough, but Vegas knew. Vegas, like, with Marcus Jones, we gotta cover ourselves.
So credit to Dice. But no, look, if they're barely beating some of these crappy teams, or they win four in a row in a month, like, okay, have they really played anybody?
You got to give them credit for this.
I think you have to give them credit for yesterday as well. And I acknowledge Carolina's terrible.
Sure.
I didn't know they could beat terrible teams. It's been a long time since they hadn't won a home game in forever. They don't win at home.
Actually, it might be their best win ever because you had Carolina in the playoffs.
It's true. I respect that Carolina team. That's true.
Carolina playoff.
That's a good point.
They play New Orleans, Tennessee, Cleveland, who might all be worse. They got the Jets twice. They got the Giants, although the Giants might have a little bit of life now. But, I mean, there are teams that are as bad or maybe worse than Carolina still on the schedule.
Yeah. That's why, look, even if you think they're just beating up on bad teams, the whole schedule's bad teams.
Yeah, great. So we'll take it.
That's what they need. That's why we had them in the playoffs before the year.
Uh-huh.
617-779-7937. More of your phone calls coming up here on Jones and Keefe. It's a Patriots Monday. Let's get into the return of Christian Gonzalez. I was nervous yesterday the way the defense looked, the way he looked. How badly did this defense miss Christian Gonzalez? We'll get to that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Christian, let's just begin with how good did it feel for you to get out there, just start playing football again, and what was your day like as far as health and with the defense?
Yeah, I mean, it was great to get out there. Like I talked about earlier in the week, all I do and want to do is play football. So it was fun to finally get out there in a home game, and the crowd was rocking, and being out there with the guys, it was a lot of fun.
I like what I saw out of Gonzalez yesterday, Keith.
Yeah, he played.
I like that he was out there, and I like largely how competitive he was with Tet McMillan outside of the start to that game. I tweeted in real time. I'm like, oh,
What's going on?
I'm like, I thought Gonzalez was going to come back and fix this defense.
Yeah.
Now Carolina is marching down the field on him. And you saw how, and maybe just listening to Diggs, this is in my head now, but Diggs is like, oh, yeah, I mean, I hadn't been hit in a while. I hadn't been out there. I had to get hit a couple of times. I'm comfortable now. And maybe looking back at the way the game played out, he looked so tentative on that first throw to McMillan, where he was way off and a big cushion and, again, just looked tentative. I'm like, oh, man, he doesn't look right. Then after that, I'd say largely you didn't notice him a ton. McMillan did nothing. And I think that's a credit to Gonzalez, who it looked like. And, again, I'd have to go back and crunch some tape.
Yeah, was that what, today you're going to do that?
Yeah, later. Like later today.
2:05?
Yeah. Right when we get off the air.
Good.
I'll watch the Red Sox workout. They're going to air the Red Sox workout at Yankee Stadium today,
Finally.
On Nesson.
Some good stretching.
So I'll be watching that, and then I'll be watching some tape.
Good.
Watch the workout.
Split screen, maybe.
Back to some tape.
Yeah, split screen it.
Then I'll break it all down.
And double Monday Night Football game.
You got good call.
Your plate is full tonight.
Staggered game. Okay. I'm going to be leaving some crumbs.
Yeah.
But it looked like he was following McMillan around a little bit too. He wasn't just on one side. He was following him around,
He covered him 11 times, 3 targets, 2 catches for like 30 yards.
Yeah, I thought I saw 3 for 31. Maybe I have those numbers wrong. But I thought outside of that first catch to McMillan, I thought he looked great, and I was nervous with how the game started.
Well, not even hyperbole, was yesterday the first time he was in full pads in like 8 weeks? The Patriots don't really practice hard at all, and we know they don't really bring guys down to the ground.
You're probably right. It's probably the first time he's out there in full pads with full contact.
So you cut him a little bit of a break. Like that first possession, it's like now, hey, it's week 4, it's full go. You got this kid on the other side, top 10 pick, who's off to a pretty good start. I don't love him, but he's off to a good start. And you're like, all right, now you gotta defend him. And Gonzalez's like, oh, we're tackling today? Like, we're bringing guys to the ground? We can actually hit? Oh, I haven't done this.
Gotcha.
It's been 2 months since I've done anything close to hitting. And even then, how much hitting did they do? Right? That was sort of the knock on the Patriots camp, was like, all right, it's kind of light. And, oh, another day of just helmets. And, like, they weren't really doing a whole lot. So I think for anybody, it's going to take a little time to kind of get in the swing of things. And then once he did, he was good.
Look, I would say the whole defense the last 2 weeks. Like, the first 2 weeks, they got carved up. The last 2 weeks, Pittsburgh and yesterday against Carolina, if they could just figure out how to start games, the defense has actually played really well.
Yeah.
If you could, and you can't do this.
No, the middle.
But if you could just kick the first drive out of the game in each of these last 2 games, we'd look up and be like, man, the defense has played really, really well.
Well, not the last 2 weeks drive against Pittsburgh.
No, not that
one. No, but you're right. There's a bunch of possessions.
But it's
where
like
it's
at
like
some point, the other team's going to score. I get that. Yeah, maybe you don't want to give it up on a pivotal drive like that.
Game-winning drive.
But they start every game so bad. The Raiders march right down the field on them. I guess the Dolphins didn't. The Dolphins actually were the other way. They did nothing for two drives.
No, but
and then
the three or the three home games though.
Three home games. Yeah. They let the other team march right down the field. Like, clean that up.
Yeah.
Couple it with the return of Gonzalez, and all of a sudden you have a pretty strong defensive performance last.
But I do
weeks.
Feel like, despite a lot of missed tackles over the really first 4 weeks, 3 weeks in particular, but even yesterday there were some. If you're like, all right, you can add one thing to this defense. You can add one thing to the defense. It would be a top corner.
Yeah.
And that's what they were able to do. And like, now you'll see, all right, can some of their guys, can their linebacker play get a little bit more consistent? And then from there, you're like, all right, can it be like a top 10 defense? That was the hope going into the year. And it did not look like that in total, right? Like, there are stretches where it has, but the whole time you're like, I don't know. And there's been a lot of Patriots defenses in the past. Some of the Bill Belichick defenses at the end that feasted on the bad quarterbacks, feasted on the bad teams. Then they'd get lit up maybe by like Josh Allen or something. But overall, you'd be like, oh, like they're eighth in defense or whatever. And it's like, yeah, that's because they would pick off Zach Wilson four times and like shut him out or whatever. And like, but that's what you got to do.
I mean,
and we talked about it, like the bad teams and the bad quarterbacks that they play, like they're going to get a bunch of these guys. And they made Bryce Young look like who I think Bryce Young is. And you're like, okay, good.
So I think that's relevant analysis if you're talking about can they go on a run in the postseason? Can they win a playoff game? But like to get there, I'm okay with them fattening up on bad quarterbacks.
No, do it.
They should do that.
It's a good baseline.
Yeah. Now, will that mean anything come the playoffs? Maybe not. You should have a good quarterback on the other side, a good offense on the other side. So we can cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah.
In the meantime, take advantage of what's there to take advantage of. And I thought they did. And outside of an early drive, I think Gonzalez made a difference on that defense yesterday, which did, again, after a bad start, settle in. 617-779-7937. Mike Vrabel was on the Greg Hill Show this morning, as he is every Patriots Monday morning. And it's brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank, the leading financial option for New England businesses and the families that power them. Northeastern Savings Bank, upgrade to local, member DIF, FDIC. He wasn't asked about Gonzalez, but he was, I think, in a relatively good mood.
Should be.
He's been abrasive, agitated in some of these interviews. I thought this was a ball-busting mood today from Mike Vrabel when he was asked about Stephon Diggs and his comfort level in the offense.
Steph Diggs said that his comfortability within the offense is a 5 out of 10 right now. Is that just how he feels?
Then he should study more.
Okay.
I love this you, by the way. This is like, let's go.
Five out of ten.
Let's go get him.
We need to get going. I'll have to talk to Steph today.
You got to know. You got to know the playbook inside and out.
Yeah, I just didn't know.
Five out of ten. I went to Ohio State. You're failing.
Yeah, that's not good.
I just didn't know if it was him feeling comfortable coming back from injury or if it was how he felt with Drake or within the offense. I didn't know.
We'll have to clarify what part of it is 50%. We'll have to have a winning effort physically, mentally, and whatever the third one was. Yeah. We'll have to bump it up a little bit here to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. I think the third one's emotionally.
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 We need to be better in all three phases then. Because that's not good enough.
So Diggs did volunteer 5 out of 10 comfort level. And yeah. I think what Vrabel's trying to do there, and I don't know if that was Courtney's intention or not, but he's just trying to say, guys, we're not going to turn this into like Steph Diggs doesn't know, but we won 42-13.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I'm going to bust some balls about this, but yeah. I think he's trying to get in front of it.
But I think it is, like, I get why it was asked, but I also get where like Diggs is coming from being like, all right, like I'm still trying to get more comfortable. I
just took Stephon saying it as, well, I'm still not where I want to be yet.
No, it gives you room to grow. It's not like, I'm good, like, the back of my hand right now. And you're like, oh, really? Like, you know everything already? Like,
yeah. I think it was, an answer where there's room to grow. Exactly. Yep. And I don't know if Vrabel is ready to jump down people's throats, but this to me wasn't as adversarial or agitated as some of his other answers were.
Yeah.
So go check out Mike Vrabel on the Audacy app, AUDACY. When that's back up and running. Apparently, we have some issues with the Audacy app right now.
We got all our best people on it.
But keep checking that out. You can go there eventually and use the rewind feature to listen to Mike Vrabel. You can also keep it locked in here on Jones and Keefe on a Patriots Monday. Hunter Henry and Christian Ellis will join us. Next hour, we have What Happened?
Ooh, busy weekend in the NFL.
Real busy. Week 4 of the NFL. We'll do that at 11:30. And let's get to the Patriots offense. Is it already better than we anticipated? That's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.